We've got a church represented here for the very...
Christ, His only Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, distinct yet three in one. I believe there is forgiveness for everything we've done. That is why all the more I will serve Him. I believe the Son of God was crucified upon a tree, and laid within a borrowed tomb not far from Calvary. I believe He rose up from the dead, alive for all to see. And that is why all the more I will serve Him. I have made my decision. I have stayed my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand. Cross before.
By the grace of God,
I will serve the Lord.
Sing it with us.
I have made my decision. I have stayed my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I'll not be ashamed with the world behind me and the cross before.
I believe you must be born again. John 3:16 is true. And the old life can be washed away, everything made new. I believe the love of God can somehow find its way to you. And that is why all the more I will serve Him.
I have made my decision. I have
than the cross before.
By the grace of God,
I will serve.
Sing
the
it with us one more time.
Oh, I have made my decision. I have stayed my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I'll not be ashamed with the world behind me and the cross before.
By the grace of God,
I will serve the Lord
with the world
behind me and the cross before.
By the grace of God,
how many will say that tonight? Oh yes, and I have made my decision. Hey,
I have stayed my claim.
Have you drawn the line?
I've drawn a line in the sand, and I'll not be ashamed with the world behind me and the cross before.
By the grace of God,
I will serve the Lord.
And with the world
behind me and the cross before.
By the grace of God,
I will serve the Lord.
Raise your hand. Well, that's what I'm going to do in a few days when I get to go home, I guess. We are gone so much of the time. And last year, I slept in my own bed about 40 days. That was all that I got to. I love my king-size bed, but I only got to sleep in my own bed somewhere around 40 to 50 days last year. So that's being gone a whole lot of the time. My children, now I'm from Oklahoma. Now you might think you think all of Oklahoma's ugly. That's just because you drew through the wrong part is all I've got to tell you about that. And I drive the people in Virginia crazy every once in a while telling them we've got bigger mountains in Oklahoma than you do. And they can't believe it, but they just ain't been in the right place. But when we get close to there, when we get close to that Oklahoma line, my children will start saying, "Dad, honk the horn." I'm sure that sign's never hurt us, but we sure honk at it a lot of times when we go by. You know why? We know we're getting closer to home. Hello? And so, man, I mean, it may be the middle of the night. Sometimes it is. When I've been gone a long time, I'll drive all night long. I'm wanting to go home. I'll drive past that sign in the middle of the night. I'm liable to wake them up, hollering and honking the horn, Brother McKelvey. I'm getting close to home. Could I tell you tonight it's time for us as a church to lift up our voice and rejoice because we're getting close to home. Somebody say amen. I said we're getting close to home. It's not a time to shut up, sit down, and be quiet. It's a time to lift up our head because our redemption is drawing nigh. Hey, brother, we're getting close to home. Can you say amen? Well, I've preached you some sermon. How many remember what I said on Monday night? This might be what you call the gospel according to a chihuahua. Hallelujah. I don't know who come up with these little sayings on here, but they sure were convenient. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight. I picked this one up and looked at it, and I want to preach to you on it tonight. And it says, "I knew you would come back for me." Hallelujah. I knew you would come back for me. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. How many's going to help the preacher? It's the last night and we're tired and we played and sweated. And I got to praying around the altar this morning with some of you boys. And I thought some of y'all might be the prodigal son. By the way, you were smelling at this point in the whole thing. How many know that we can conjure up a little more energy and have church right here? Let me tell you what all this is about. This is about not about making you feel good. This is not about you visiting with your friends. This week is not about a social hour or a social time. And all of those things play a part into this. But I'm going to tell you what we're really here doing. We're here getting ready for heaven. Hello? This thing is about going to heaven. Now, I know there's a generation arising up. They don't want to talk about heaven, and they would like to believe that there is no hell. And yet, when they get mad and want to curse somebody, it's the first thing they tell them where to go. Because in every one of us is this understanding there is a punishment for wrongdoing, and there is a reward for good doing. And in this world, that's called, or in the Christian world, that is called heaven and hell. Now, nobody in their right mind wants to go to hell. Hello? I said, I've heard some people say they want to go to hell because their friends was there. I'm going to tell you, if that's the way you feel, I got bad news for you. Even if you do go, you're never going to see your friends. They're never going to show up in the corner you're at. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches that it's going to be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. You're not going to see anybody for eternity. It's going to be outer darkness. I don't want to go there. Everybody ought to say amen. I said, I don't want to go there. But on the flip side of that, I heard that heaven is a beautiful place. Hello? I mean, man, they got gold streets over there. They got gates made out of pearls. They've got mansions with our names on them, if our name is written down in heaven. Brother, when I think about the love, the peace, and the joy of heaven, it makes me want to turn my back on everything else and take off running as fast as I can toward heaven. Can you say amen? John 14, verse 1. Here we go. Going to read. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for your friends. So if they, huh? Is that what it said?
For you.
Oh, it said for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now we're going to do this again. Point your finger at yourself and say, me. I go prepare a place for you. That means me. Hello? Doesn't matter your social standing. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter who your daddy and mama is. None of that stuff matters. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if you can fit yourself into you, then that means you. Hallelujah. And I will, but listen, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. I'm going to read two or three scriptures here. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So I've got hope that's beyond this world. How many want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. How many really want to go to heaven? Raise both your hands. Somebody's got Bibles in your hand. I understand that. Don't knock your neighbor over the head with it. But I really want to go to heaven. And 1 John 3 and 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Set your hands this way right now. Ask God to anoint us, Lord. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Spirit and the power of God that's been manifest in this house this week. Thank you for the way you moved around the altars last night. But God, tonight is a different night. It's a new day. Lord, I'm asking you to quicken the hearts of these young people. Quicken my lips of clay by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the power of God so endue us with power up from on high that next year when we walk under this campground, we can say I live victorious, a Christian life, because I kept heaven in my view the entire year. Let the glory of God fall. And everyone said together, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. I knew you would come back for me. I want to reiterate something I've already said, and that is that this is all about heaven. Now, I want to debunk a couple. I believe I've got a handkerchief in here somewhere. I want to debunk a common myth, and that is this, that everybody is going to heaven. That's not so. When somebody dies, oh yeah, I know when a movie star dies, everybody's talking about how they went on to heaven, and some great pop singer may die, and everybody talks about how they just went right on to heaven. Well, I disagree with that on this basis. There's a way that you get into heaven. You just don't stumble into heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. And you've got to go through the door to get into heaven. You can't just live your life any way you want to. You can't live any way you would like to live and end up in heaven. Matter of fact, it's going to take some work on our part to get into heaven. The good part is the hard work He took care of. That's the good part. I couldn't make a sacrifice for my sin that would be acceptable. But aren't you glad that Jesus came and made a sacrifice for your sin that is acceptable in heaven? Can you say amen? But everybody's not going to heaven. You can't, boy, I'm going to preach to you here just a little bit because I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I'm going to tell y'all something. You can't live like you want to, drink, lie, steal, cheat. Come on, run around. Do evil, wicked things. Come now, be immoral and go to heaven. That don't work. Matter of fact, the Word of God said there's not any sin going to enter in there. You say, well, you're being judgmental when you say that one or this one is not going to heaven. Well, the Bible said you know them by their fruits. You can look at the way they live, and the way they live, it's not you dictating who's going to heaven or hell. It's their life dictates who is going to heaven and hell. But I believe you can live a life that is right before God and be ready to go to heaven. Somebody say amen. I said I believe you can live a life and be ready to go to heaven. Let me tell y'all something. We are ceasing to preach on this. Here's why. We've got it so good most of the time that heaven don't hardly appeal to us on our natural side. Most of you under the sound of my voice have never walked to a refrigerator and opened it up and there was absolutely nothing there. Most of you. Most of you have never come to the kitchen for breakfast, and Mom said there's absolutely nothing to eat. Most of us have never dealt with that. Hello? Most of us have never had to worry about clothes. We've got them. Thank God we do. Hallelujah. Who'd want to see you run around without your clothes on anyhow? But thank God you have your clothes. But we've got these things. We've got all these necessities. And sometimes we lose the fact that this is about going to heaven. Hello? This is really about, and I can tell right now that I can't really hardly communicate this to you because I can tell by the way you're even not responding. It is not that you're not responding in your thank God, hallelujah, glories. It's in your eyes. We lose that there's this realization. But I am going to tell you there are some of you that have dealt with hurts in your life. There are some of you that are fighting the devil and trying to live for God. Come on here now. There are some of you that had to deal with broken homes and broken promises and things that haven't went right in your life. I got news for you. When we all get to heaven, everybody will be happy over there. Not just for a little while, but everybody's going to be happy. Every day's going to be happy. Every moment's going to be happy. Nobody's going to break our heart. Somebody say amen. I said nobody's going to break our heart. Nobody's going to break promise to us. I'm going to tell you, heaven, I said heaven is going to be a wonderful place. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't live the way I do just to be different. Hello? You know, it's kind of odd to me today that people look at me like I'm crazy. Huh? That bugs me. I go walking into a restaurant, people go. And my wife and my daughter walk by and they go. Huh? They look at me like I'm nuts. And they're sitting there with the ring in their nose. Oh, you might as well say amen. And three in their ear and one in their lip. And they're looking at me like I'm nuts when I walk by. Something wrong with that picture. I feel like preaching to you just a little bit. We was in a Pizza Hut one time. There was this dude in line. My sister Darla standing beside me. And we was in line. And this guy, up two guys in front of me, he had this big old ring in his nose. Big old gold ring. Hung right here on his nose and hung down on his lip. And he is looking. And the guy between me and him said, "Hey, man," said, "does that hurt?" And he turned around. He said, "No, man, that don't hurt." He said, "You don't even feel it, you know." I couldn't help it. I spoke up right quick. I said, "Hey, that's what we do at the farm to keep the pigs from rooting in the mud. Why'd y'all go get the stuff out of the barnyard and start putting it in your face? Come on here now. Hey, buddy, I'm not strange. That crowd's strange. Why do you want to cut yourself? Why do you want to put holes in yourself? Why do you want to draw on the creation that God made you?" Boy, I feel like preaching here a little bit. I'm going to tell you, this craze of body piercing and tattooing business, it's a demonic force right straight out of hell to take the body that God made you and to mess it up. Are you hearing me? Somebody ought to say amen. Hey, brother, leave the creation God gave you alone and let Him beautify you, because He said, "I'll beautify the meek with a salvation." Come on now. Ha ha ha. Well, that's good old fashioned preaching. I don't live this way to be different. I don't do this to stand out. I don't live this way to attempt to be condemning to others. That is not the point. You say, "Well, you're preaching condemn me." I'm sorry, that's because you was doing what I was preaching on. But that wasn't my point. My point wasn't to condemn you. I am not living this way. Come now. Just to stand out or to be different. Listen, young people. We're living this way so we can get to heaven. Come on now. So your friends don't want to live this way. Say, "Okay, that's all right. But I'm going to live this way anyhow because I want to go to heaven." Somebody say amen. I want to go to heaven. Don't fit in. I'll tell you why I don't fit in. Because I am a citizen of heaven. And it's hard to fit in this world when you are a citizen of heaven. Oh, come on here now. I can't think like them because I'm a citizen of heaven. Somebody say amen. I don't look like them because that's not heaven's style. Somebody ought to say amen. I said, I don't look like the world because that ain't heaven's style. Heaven's looking for purity. Heaven's looking for holiness. Somebody say amen. Heaven's looking for somebody that'll say, "I'm willing to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." That's the word of God. So I'm living this way because I'm doing my best to emulate the style of heaven. There's a bunch of music that I don't listen to because it's not heaven's music. Are y'all hearing me preach? Let me tell y'all something. It bugs me that there are a lot of the worldly entertainment. We've got this dumb stuff that goes on. And I admit it's interesting on the surface. But behind the scenes, hey, listen, we don't need an American Idol. We need Jesus. Woo! Come on now. The Bible said no idols. I won't have any other gods before me. But there's something that bugs me about a lot of the culture today and the pop culture and this music culture and people like Kate Perry and this crowd that was raised in a Pentecostal church and went to youth camp and claimed to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost at one time, and now you're living and singing and looking like that. Something happened somewhere, buddy. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. Hey, buddy, I'm not odd. I'm just trying to get to heaven. I said, I'm not odd. I'm just trying to get to heaven. They lost their way somewhere, but I know somebody that is the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm doing my best to follow Him. Come on now. It bugs the fire out of me when people like Marilyn Manson that went to a Christian school. Hello? I said went to a Christian school. Went to chapel like some of you. And then does such things on the platform with the Word of God that I couldn't even mention it in a immense congregation in this crowd. Hello? You say, well, once they got saved, they're always saved, buddy. You got to be warped somewhere. Come on now, that you need more help than I can hardly give you to believe that mess. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you start following Jesus, you'll want to keep on following Jesus. If you go into that kind of mess, you quit wanting to follow God somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. I don't listen to a bunch of that music. I'm going to tell you why I don't. Because that's not heaven's music. It don't uplift my spirit. Somebody say amen. I said, I could preach about a lot of it. I said, I could preach about a lot of it, but I'm not here to do that per se. But I'm going to tell you, it don't take long for me and you to realize if we're trying to follow God and get to heaven, that ain't heaven's music I'm hearing over there. Come on now. I said, that's not heaven's music I'm hearing over there. Listen, I don't talk like they talk anymore. Somebody say amen. I don't use the language they use anymore. And the reason I don't, that ain't heaven's language. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm going to tell you what. I wished I didn't have this to say, but before I got saved, I didn't have the nicest mouth there was in the world. I'd say things I shouldn't say. But I'm going to tell you, when I knelt down at the altar and the Lord came into my life, when Jesus came in, the cusser got out. That's the Word of God. You say, oh, bless God, I slipped. Oh, no. There's no such thing. When Jesus comes in here, the cusser has to get out of there. Hey, come on here now. I don't talk about filthy things. I don't talk about dirty things, because that ain't heaven's language. Somebody help this preacher. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for him to come back for me. I said I'm waiting for him to come back for me. And I'm trying to keep everything ready. I said I'm trying to keep everything ready for when he does. This one's going to get a little tight for some of you. You can't be best friends with people that are not Christians, because they're not a citizen of heaven, and you are. Come on now. Girls, listen to me. I know we used to hear people say stuff like this. Well, I don't think y'all ought to go to youth camp to get a boy. Well, I disagree with that. I think this is a wonderful place to find a boyfriend if you think you really got to have one of these stinking things over here. Hallelujah. Come on, guy. Hey, listen. Listen, this is a wonderful place to find a girlfriend. Just make sure it's not the one that sits in the back and don't come to the altar. Somebody help this preacher all up in here. Just make sure it's one of those that's the first one to hit the altar and the last one to leave. Let them fit your criteria. Somebody ought to say amen. That's why, girls, I don't believe you have to let down your standards and start dating some dude that's sitting on the back of the car down on Main Street. You ain't got to do that. Don't do it, because they ain't a citizen of heaven. They don't think like you do. Somebody ought to say amen. You ain't got to, oh brother, somebody help this preacher. You ain't got to look out there in the world, son. God will have you somebody right here in the house of God that thinks like you do. Hey, come on here now. That's got the same language that you do. That listens to the same music that you do. Hey, that is a citizen of heaven. Come on now. Man, what are you so ramped up about, preacher? You know what I'm wanting to do? I'm wanting to go to heaven, and I'm wanting to take everybody I can with me. Say, well, that kind of preaching makes me mad. Why would you get mad at somebody trying to help you get to heaven? Huh? I've had people say, I don't believe that's necessary. Prove it to me. Because I can prove it to you the other direction. Come on now. You're going to have to be set apart. Somebody say amen. You're going to have to come out from among the world. Somebody say amen. Come on now. Woo! Here the other night, I have odd taste, I guess. There's some. How many's ever seen one of these little? It's really they're feel good stories. They're real, but these soldiers that come back and surprise their family. Anybody ever? Everybody ever seen one of them? Wave your hand at me. All right, put your hand down. How many of you cried? Come on now. Some of you boys think a sign of being a man's not crying. That's a sign you ain't a man. You can't handle your own emotions. Come on here now. I'm going to tell you something. I can cry right on with the best of them. It don't make me a sissy. Come on now. It just means I know how to show my emotions and still be a man. Somebody say amen. But boy, I was watching the other evening. There was a little girl. She was graduating and she didn't know. She thought her daddy was in Afghanistan. She hadn't seen him, and I don't know when. And all of a sudden, she went to get her little diploma. And all of a sudden, stepping out from behind that crowd was her daddy. I'm telling you, she took off. She forgot that diploma. She took off running across that platform. She jumped into her daddy's arms. He was mic'd, and I heard him whisper in her ear, I told you I'd be here. Hallelujah. I told you I'd be here. Hey, I come to tell somebody tonight, we've waited a long time, and there's a lot of people that says, I guess he just ain't going to come. But I got news for you, buddy. One of these mornings, and it won't be long, you're going to hear him say, I told you, I told you, I told you I was coming. You'll be glad you was ready. I said, you'll be glad you was ready. You'll be glad you is living right. You'll be glad for the move of God. Raise your hands. You don't think this thing's real? I had a cousin. He was young. He had sugar diabetes really bad. You say, well, you know what, preacher, I'm young, and there's a reason it's heaven. don't really appeal to me that much is because I really don't have that much bad going on in my life right now. I'm going to tell you that can change right quick. Johnny, he was young. He got sugar diabetes bad. Bad. They couldn't help him. And he was dying. He called for my dad. My dad and mom was a long ways away, but there was a preacher used to be among us, Brother Havis Crawford. He flew and picked my mother and dad up in a plane and flew them to Arkansas. And they went in, and Johnny was bad. He was just about 11 or 12 years old, just small, young, maybe 10. Johnny was laying there so sick he was dying. Dad came in. Dad said, I spent most of the day sitting there beside his bed. He loved my dad. He'd just sit there and hold Dad's hand, smile at him. Late that night, whoo. Let me tell y'all something that we don't think about that is a reality. There's an old preacher that made this statement that I've read after him. He said, I believe that if we can make men think about dying in eternity for 5 minutes without thinking about anything else, every man in America would get saved. Come on now. Because, see, dying is really not a reality to me and you right now. We're full of life. But Johnny was laying there on that bed late that night. Oh, I hope I'm not preaching too long. I'm going to hurry right here. But Johnny that night laying there on that bed, my Auntie Lane was sitting beside him, and he was really low. And all of a sudden, he said, Mom, can you hear that singing? And Auntie Lane started to cry. She said, No, Johnny, I can't hear that singing, but I know you can. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, there's singing going on in heaven. I said, there's singing going on in heaven. Hey, he laid there a little bit. He was holding his mama's hand. Auntie Lane was crying. He said, Mama, do you see that angel standing in the corner of the room? She said, No, Johnny. Hey, you said that just happens to grown people. I'm talking about a 10-year-old boy laying there in the bed. Hey, she said, No, Johnny, but I know you can see. After a while, he said, Mama, the angel says, I've got to go now. She broke down weeping. My dad said, she said, Johnny, I know you do, and I'll see you after a while somewhere. Mama, the angel says, I've got to go. And he shut his little eyes, and the angel picked him up and carried him out of here. I could simply hear him say when he scooped him up off that bed, I told you I'd come for you. I told you. I told, hey, brother, I got news for you. I'm wanting to go to heaven. I said, I'm wanting to go to heaven, and I'm wanting to do anything I got to do to get there. Come on now. You see, when that Army daddy had told that little girl, I'll be there. She thought he meant in spirit. Come on now. How many know that Jesus said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world? Come here, Brother Cruz. I want you to just walk across the front of this place kind of slow. He said, I'll be with you all the way. But there's times it don't feel like he's close. Come on now. There's times I'm dealing with stuff. It don't feel like you're anywhere around God. But it's because he's there in spirit. I can't see him. And yet all of a sudden when I don't think I can make it any farther, I may not can see him, but all of a sudden I'll feel him. Take a hold. I wish I could preach to y'all. I said, I'll feel him. Take a hold of my hand. And I'll know I'm going the right direction. resurrection. Come on here, brother. Hey, buddy, but I got news for you. One of these mornings, and it won't be long. Hey, brother, the Bible said what we have had in faith is going to all of a sudden become sight in our eyes. Hey, buddy, I'll tell you what. When they're passing out the awards of heaven, I got a feeling I'll be like that little girl. I'll run past the guy handing out awards and say, that's right over there's where I'm going. I've been wanting to see him. I've been wanting to lay my hands on him. I've been wanting to worship him. Hey, buddy, this is what heaven means to me. Raise your hands and magnify God. Whoop! Hey. All my life, my God, I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost. All my life, I've listened to my mother sing this old song. Walking in the gospel light that shines. Careful as I go one step at a time. Clinging to a prayer and holding to a hand. I can't see. Listening for the master's voice to say, come a little higher to the land today. Standing on his promises gives me confidence. I have hope. Well, I have hope. There's a land that's better. I have hope. Where the soul lives on. I have hope that the sun shines brighter. Hey, brother, I tell you, heaven is going to be worth the journey. When we get there, you'll be glad. I said, you'll be glad you made it. I got a good friend. I'm almost through. I've got a good friend who is a missionary to Haiti. He's a great man. He's older now. He's got a lot of orphanages that they run over there. Not long ago, he went to Haiti and he saw one of his directors the evening he got there. And he said, I want you to meet me in the room tomorrow. I want to go over some financial things, I guess, and so forth about some records and so forth about the orphanage. And that brother broke down and went to crying. He said, Brother Ray, I don't want to disobey you, and I'll be here as soon as I can. But he called a little girl's name. They come to those orphanages. They don't have nothing. They don't have a mama. They don't have food. They don't have parents. They don't have a place. They have nothing. He said she died last night. She was 12 years old. Over there, they don't have the means a lot of times, especially if you're poor. They don't have the means for a funeral. You just got to get them buried as fast as you can. He said, we're going to have a little funeral service, and as soon as that funeral service is over, he said, I'll be here. He said, Brother Ray said the next day, he said that brother showed up, said you could see his eyes were swollen. Those children become just like their own. He sat down, he said he called her name, and he said we buried her a while ago. 12 years old. Brother Ray said, I don't claim to be super spiritual, but he said, when he said that, my body left that room, and I saw a vision. He said, I saw a little black girl that had never had a pair of shoes. She never owned a pair of shoes. Some of y'all get mad when they don't match. Come on here now. She never owned a pair of shoes. She never owned a dress. She had never dressed up one time in her entire life. She didn't have nothing. Wore an old sack. Went barefooted and never had enough to eat one day in her life. Not one. But he said, I saw a street of transparent gold. He said it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen in my life. He said, but what captured my attention was dead in the center of that street was a little black girl with a bright yellow dress on. And she had her hair in ponytails. And she had bright yellow bows in her hair. And she had white patent leather shoes on. And she was skipping right down the center of that street of gold. He said, I knew she had never had anything. And he said, God spoke to me and said, Wayne, what do you think she thinks about my heaven? Hey, brother, I think it's going to be, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I think it's going to be worth it to go. I said, I think it's going to be worth it. And it ain't going to be very long that the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Hey, brother, I want to be ready. I said, I want to be ready. Who'd get out of their seat right now and say, I'm going to make preparations. I'm going to make preparations. Come on now. I don't need to give any more altar call than what the Holy Ghost just did. Why don't we break out of our pew and head toward this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to make a decision tonight between now and next year. I'm going to keep heaven in my view. I said, I'm going to keep heaven. I'm going to keep heaven in my view. I said, I'm going to keep heaven in my view. I'm going to keep God first in my life. I'm going to lay aside. I'm going to lay aside everything. I said, I'm going to lay aside everything. I said, I'm going to lay aside everything that I've got to. Hey, boy, this is the final night of camp. I tell you what you're needing to do. You're needing to get a vision of heaven. Because if you really get a vision... If you get a vision of heaven, I said, if you really get a vision of heaven, you'll run for your life.
Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. In that city, it'll be so wonderful, bright and bare.
God, I'm willing to lay aside every weight.
And
the sin that just so easily beset us.
I'm
willing, God, to lay everything down. I want to make it to heaven.
It'll be worth the journey when I get there.
I got heaven on my mind. When your friends say, turn around, let's go this way, you're going to say, oh no, I got heaven on my mind.
In that city, it'll be so wonderful, bright and fair.
Hey, when I see Jesus, I'll tell you what, you'll be glad. I said you'll be glad. You'll be glad for everything you did to make it.
Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there.
When you see Him split those skies.